in the temple itself. So there's some New Testament application, an Old Testament statement there. And so I've got, let's see here, 11. That has none of them begin with the same letters or anything. It's just, I guess they all begin with Y. You, or us, whatever. Reasons we could be having difficulty when we're trying to do something right or get better. Now, the key to this thing is you have to be wanting to try to do something better. I'm not looking at legalism, I'm not looking at this holiness stuff. Well, I tell you, that's a fine line, isn't it? When you look it out there and you see what those folks are trying to preach, and as I appreciate them trying to think that we ought to peace and all that, I mean, that is Jesus' way. And they mix us up. They think that we don't believe that. Well, no, that is what Jesus taught, and that's what he wants. But they've got to realize that there is more Bible past Acts. They've got to realize that it didn't work. And the Jews that rejected him, he finally puts them on the shelf and says, okay, let's go after the Gentiles and those people out there that are knocking this whole thing. Don't realize they need to be thankful that they did that. We wouldn't be having what we have today. But if they hadn't done that at all, then all that stuff that Jesus taught, that would be going on today. Are you able to tell that to somebody? Can you tell them that? I appreciate what you're saying. Yes, what Jesus taught, but you got to realize that when Jesus died and he came back, and then when Stephen died, and God offered them a couple more chances to get this thing right, and they wouldn't do it, and he shelved the Jews, and he went after with Paul to the Gentiles. There's a whole other gospel that you've got to study. And that is still Jesus' gospel, but it's through Paul. So Paul tells us it's his gospel that he was given by Jesus Christ directly. Face to face. And that's what we're trying to deal with, and that's grace. And that is why your salvation is based on your faith in Christ Jesus, not whether you're a peacemaker or not. And no, we're not trying to cause any hatred. We have no hatred. Otherwise, we'd just be quiet if we hated you. Man, if we hated them, we'd let them go to hell, and we'd have a party every time somebody died. But we don't do that. We don't want them to get snookered by the devil. If anybody hates, you tell them, listen, if anybody hates, it's your church or it's the Catholic Church that hates. You know that there's a whole passel of curses put on us. No, I didn't know that. That's right. Have you heard us whining about that? No, that's the church believes that, and we believe the Bible. And this is America. Boy, thank the Lord that we can have these kind of freedoms in America. You know, we can't have that kind of freedom. Can I believe this way? Well, no, you can't. That's where they're headed. They're going to shut this thing down someday. But those are things you've got to be able to talk to people. And it's so easy to stand here and say it. And it's so easy to think when you lay down at night, instead of thinking about coffee, you'll think about how to witness to somebody about these things, you know. And then the time comes and you know what's coming, and then they won't let you say anything. And then you do that famous tap thing. You know, it's just not there. It's somewhere back in here, that word you want to get out. But I'll tell you, nothing does better than just to jump in. And like we'll talk about tomorrow night with the men, and we'll go through James or something. I don't know what we'll do. I'll tell you, I think we're going to have a balloon rally that's going to put the other two rallies to shame as far as tiredness and discussions. Unless they don't want to talk about it. I don't know. We'll see. But boy, we need to be prepared. We just do. So, anyway, those are all the things that are going on, and I'm hoping that picture, that image of the Antichrist, the way it's being portrayed, ought to show you that we're just running down. We need to redeem what little time there is. Thomas finally wrote tonight, and he said something else, somebody else sent him something, or whatever it was. He's doing Zechariah, a series on that. And he says, boy, Pop, that's what he calls me. Pop, there just can't be much time left the way things are looking in the Scriptures. I know what it was. He sent me an advertisement for a news item from Piggly Wiggly. How many know the Piggly Wiggly? The Piggly Wigglies. You know, Piggly Wigglies in North Carolina, where we saw them, and the one that's in either North Carolina or South Carolina, they're now going to fingerprint debit stuff. And it said that there's somebody out in Oregon or Washington that tried it, Kagers or Kroger's or something like that. And anyway, they're putting in the stores now fingerprint debit. Instead of having a debit card, you just put your finger on this thing. And then everything's been deducted from your debit card if you have anything there at all. Now, the article also said at the very end, now we don't think that that is totally reliable because you can make a cast of somebody else's fingerprint, slip one out in there and stick it on. Oh, well, of course. Then why don't we just go to the chip? It'd be a whole lot easier. You see how they're set? Oh, this is so exciting. You just know what the devil's doing there. You know? Oh, that's amazing. So with all these things that you're seeing here today and in the news, and if you watch those things or hearing about them or actually have a tendency to believe what I'm telling you, which would really be exciting, like Haggai there, we ought to be looking at ourselves and considering where we're weak and how to make ourselves a little better. Is it just making ourselves? No, it's doing it for the Lord. Amen. It's so easy to jump over that legalistic holiness side in a flash. And that just is not my desire at all. So, we have troubles. Anybody here have any troubles when you want to do something? Anything get in your way? Have you noticed that? Now, let me tell you, when your kids graduate and go away, you still got those struggles. You can't blame your kids forever. I mean that good, you know. I mean that well. You know. You can't say, well, I didn't have time because I got my kids to do this. I got my kids to do that. It's real. It's real. Because now I got grandkids and it's, you know, it's just time, all that kind of stuff. But that's no excuse. Well, if you're going to do what you want to do, you're going to make it work. You know that. Don't you know that? Whatever you want to get done, if you really want to get it done, you're going to get it done. You'll reprioritize. You'll do something to get done what you want to get done. And if God can just impress upon our heart to do something for Him more than anything else, one of those things we could do would be to consider our way and see what He would have us do. And I hope that I'm done as your pastor telling you what I think you ought to have done. You know? I mean, if it comes down to sermon, whatever, that type of thing. But tonight, I'm just going to give you some reasons why we have difficulties, and if it fits, then put it on. If it doesn't, then cut it up and throw it away or whatever. I don't know. Proverbs 29 is where we are for our first one tonight. What can we have difficulties? Oh, I ought to know this one. I ought to know this one more than anybody else in here. Oh, Beck's pretty close to this. Oh, yeah, Beck's pretty close to this with me. I don't think anybody else has the problem I've got, and that's vision problems. Hey, man, what are you laughing for? You can't laugh when the pastor says something bad about himself. You can't laugh at that. You know, I mean, if I took my glasses off, y'all could go home and leave a white rag on your counter, on your pew. I wouldn't even know you're gone. I have to have a brown one there, a blue one here. There's pink over there somewhere. That's Goldie. Okay. Pink sticks out quite a bit. Don't go anywhere with that. So, got vision problems. Amen. If you got vision problems, you can't see. Now, Proverbs 29, let's look at verse 18. This could be your problem. You could have spiritual vision problems. I got out of that one. Oh, don't say it, okay. 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen. So you got to have a vision. Dad, you're the one that's really got to be the eyes for the family. We talked about that a million times. I'll try not to park on these things. If I took my glasses off, in fact, on the plane, I realized I forgot my second pair of glasses. In the last year and a half, I've been able to have a second pair of glasses. Not as good as these, if these are good, but I do have a second, I have a backup pair of glasses. You have no idea how much that means to me. And we drove down to Denver the last time we went down there, which is just a few weeks ago, it seems like. I had forgotten my second pair of glasses. Because a couple trips before that, my glasses fell apart somewhere in Idaho. And without my glasses, I will perish, and so will others around me. They will. That's reality. Anybody here, if you took your glasses off, you couldn't see anything? Like, wait. Okay. Really? All right. There was a man at the church back there in North Carolina that was blind. He went over and played the piano, and he sang a song, and he played the piano. And he went down and hit some of those notes down there. Oh, man, that's neat. This guy's blind. Boom, and he hit the right note. Ooh, that was nice. But I said, I don't want to be that kind of a testimony. And if that's what God's going to have, then that's what God's going to have. But anyway, my point about the glasses, because I knew I didn't bring my second pair of glasses, I got kind of a couple minutes of that panic thing again. What happens if these break? Oh, I'm over here on the other side of the world, and it's just, or if at night I can't find my glasses or whatever, it's just a scary thing. And if you don't know what that's like, then count your blessings, amen. But the Bible says that if you got no vision, you'll perish. Do you have any kind of a vision?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the whole. Let's just keep going here. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Let me show you something here about seeing. Now, we know that what's going on out there is because people want to see before they believe. And they don't realize that what they're believing about what they're seeing is a false thing. That movie is making people believers of the Antichrist, is what it is. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I guess I've never seen this before or whatever. Or at least it's never clicked. It's one of those things. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. There, everybody has something that God has given them. Because it says in verse 20, so that they are without excuse. And the two things God gives them is the awareness of Him through creation and the Trinity. Everybody's got that in them. That's what it says. And so, because of that, we sometimes hesitate to want to help somebody with a seed, trying to plant a seed or whatever. They've already got a seed planted. Everybody out there, according to this thing right here, God has already planted His seed in them. And all we got to do is come along and water it and plant some more seed. And I'm shameful, I'll tell you. It never clicked with me like that until I was doing the day 15 for the Romans thing. Just looking at that and go, look at that. God has given everybody something. But I also know in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll never get through all these points tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16, what do we have there as far as seeing? We can see the deep things of God. Well, they can't see the deep things of God. An unsaved person cannot see them. You can even tell them all about them, and they don't see them. But there is something that they do see, and that's the creation. It's the Trinity. Well, we know by these days today that whole thing's been perverted. I mean, that's the conscience is seared. The creation out there is another god to them, and the whole environmental garbage thing, which is why the devil's doing what he's doing about creation. You would wonder, why does anybody even care about Genesis 1:1? Because that's one of the things God gives everybody. So the devil had to corrupt that. And he's done all that. So, interesting thing. Are you able to see what God is showing in the deep things? Have you picked up something on the deep things? Now, if we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, the same thing. Well, I just got so many verses tonight, I feel like I got a huge dinner to put on the table. I just back off and have sandwiches later tonight, I suppose. 1 Peter 1:19, what do they see there? They've seen God do a thing. They've heard. They've seen. But at the very end of that thing, say, yes, but we have a more sure word of. So they'll put the book over what they see. If you put the book over what you see to be true, you know what God's going to do for you? He will let you what? See more. So there's the thing with the vision. If you're having vision problems, it's possibly because you're not magnifying the book high enough in your family, in your life, in your day-to-day affair. Because the more you magnify that thing over something, get rid of some of that darkness, the more you're going to see. And maybe you don't see that thing in the Antichrist up there. I mean, obviously the person who wrote that article in the internet thing and had the picture right there didn't see it. And have you ever looked at something a year later and didn't see it the first time? God knows when you're able to see, when he's ready to give you something to see. And this thing about James, we've talked about James here before a couple of years ago. Well, I learned all that stuff, but it's kicking now. We need to be able to tell somebody at the balloon rally about James. And it's really simple. I couldn't believe how simple that was. You probably even know that from Sunday school past. We'll talk about it tomorrow night if anybody else wants to know. So, vision problems. I hope you're still seeing this stuff. I can't see for you. I can tell you about it. So who would I trust in here? That's true, my wife. Thank you very much. That's a good answer. Okay, lead me to the back with your voice. No. I haven't got the time. If all I was going to talk about tonight was vision, we'd try it. Well, what we could do, see, we could can all the lights in here tonight. And then we can just say, everybody change to the other side of the church. You know, other side, and just switch around. But we can't do this because we're Christian people. We couldn't do that.
we'd be bumping and, oh, excuse me.
You know, I thought we couldn't even do it. You know? So be glad that we can see. Back the other, at the, we had a storm and the lights went out. I had to go to sleep with a candle. And I just barely, not in the bed, with, I mean in the, you know, on the thing here. That was scary. I mean, it was just, well, I need a chunk of light somewhere. The computer. So I wanted to turn on the laptop, put it on white screen. Saved by computer. Vision, if you got vision problems, you know. Anyway, next thing, let's go to Luke chapter 5. Yeah, I had 2.5 hours, 3 hours of light. Next thing, if you're taking notes, number one is vision problems. You just probably having a vision problem. Haven't you ever called me up and say, hey, Pastor, can you tell me about that again? Because I just don't see it. That's all right. Go ahead. Don't be afraid to call. Number two, you are afraid to take risks. Maybe you're just afraid to try something different. You know, one of the things that a Christian is supposed to do, a brother is supposed to do for each other, is if somebody does something and it messes up, and it fails, the big word, failure, and then you get mocked. Oh, yes, I appreciate your try, but I knew you couldn't do it. And that's something that's scary with our children, our kids, because we want them to kind of venture out just a little bit, not really. But they need to. They need to a little bit. And as they get older, and they'll mess up. Because sometimes our kids are afraid to do anything because they're just going to get yelled at anyway. So what's the point? We need, if we fail, then what does God do? Shove us? Come on, get back up, and let's try it again. So maybe one of the reasons we don't like to do something we know we need to try differently is we're afraid of taking that chance. Just afraid to try. And a good example here is in Luke chapter 5, verse 3. You probably know the story, maybe you don't. And he entered into one of the ships, we're in ships here in the, by the lake there, it says, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Draught. I had to look that up. You fisher guys know what that means, right? That's what you catch when you swing the net around there. And I thought, what's this got to do with a draught? But that's not what that is at all. It's what you get when you swing that net around. And so he says, listen, get out there. Go out into the deep. Where are we at here? Launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Here's this great word. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. Break. See? And I like that thing. It says, launch out into the deep. And as a Christian, as a father, or as a wife, or even as some teens and stuff, young people, whatever, young adults or old kids, launch out into the deep in something. Take a shot. And see what God will do. You might find that thing just packed full of fish where you can't even bring it all in. And if it's wrong, and if it's a messed up deal, then parents, or husband, or wives, or whatever, back off. Plus, it was a sinful thing they tried. Man, they're willing to trust the Lord into something. I remember when we were first offered a chance to move to Las Vegas from southern Minnesota, and there's only one of my relatives said, go for it. You can always just come back. That's all. That was neat. That was a neat thing. We took off to Las Vegas with this big Plymouth Fury, jacked up like this, about a half an inch off the ground, all the way across the country there. And slept in camp around the 108 degrees and all that stuff, I tell you. And yet God blessed it. I wouldn't have known it at the time. I wouldn't have known it at the time. Can you look back now what you've done in your life that was a venture out thing? And God was in it. But you didn't know about it at the time. Have you ever ventured out into the deep and God wasn't in it? And you just had to, whatever, I mean, you just died, you know? Okay, get up and try it again. You know? I can think of a couple of times I tried to venture out like I'm supposed to do as a Christian, and it didn't work, or got shut down or shot down or whatever, and I let it die for a long time. We need to launch out into the deep. Remember that tonight. Maybe that's all God wants you to do. Maybe that's what He wants you to do. Consider your ways and do what? What's the phrase? Launch out into the deep. Man, redeem the time. We probably haven't got that much time to launch out into the deep. Think I'd just bag this thing and get on the road and do this music thing? I don't know. Not ready to go. Yeah, I wonder if that's what's... I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. That's scary. It's like driving the Titanic across the ocean all by yourself. Not if he's in it. Not if he's in it. If he's in it, I won't hit the iceberg. If he's not in it. Clang, clang. Iceberg at dead ahead, sir. Well, quick. Go back to the harbor or whatever. I don't know. You got something to launch out into the deep on? Maybe that's you. I don't know. Take risks. Let's go to Psalm 3. Wow. Man, I got so many to do here. Well, let's look at this one too, the same subject. Psalm 34. Launch out into the deep. Here's a good little verse to add to that. Psalm 34. I got a month worth of sermon right here, I think. Don't they say to clean your plates when you eat? Don't your parents, mothers tell your kids to eat everything? Well, I don't know. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Is that what yours says there? That makes me think of when I don't like to eat something I don't want to eat. Go ahead, taste it. Like horseradish. I haven't liked horseradish my whole life. Just the name of it sounds like it's ground up horse. You know? And so, well, Tyler challenged me. I can't let Tyler get the win on that one. Now I like horseradish. Weird. You know, asparagus. Took a little cheese and the marcy types to make me like asparagus, but now I don't like asparagus. I've even gotten over what happens when you have asparagus. It's just a good thing. Asparagus is good. Amen. That was shocking. Amen. So, taste the Lord. You know, some folks haven't even tasted what the Lord can do on a faithful step. Everything has to be just right. And they don't even know what the Lord tastes like. They know what they taste like because they're the ones kind of making everything go just right. But if you can make that step out there and launch out into the deep, and man, I'll tell you, the Lord tastes good. When He steps in there, makes things work, it's marvelous. You guys know that when you preach. That's launched out into the deep. Sure, I'll preach in a couple weeks while you're gone. You know, and there you are. And now you both know what it's like when God works on you by yourself writing a sermon. That's a marvelous thing. It's tasting the Lord. So we got to venture out there, and if that's God's will to venture out there. Let's do another one. Let's go here to Proverbs 29. Number 3. 8 to go. So I'll just give you a warning how to adjust in the pew there. Number 3, another reason we don't like to struggle with these things is we're afraid of people. We're just afraid of somebody. And so far, we're talking about me. If this is anybody else out there, I'd like to hear a few amens, okay? But this is true. I'm not big. I don't like to flop in front of people. I don't like to flop at all. But Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. I've done some sermons here. I'm afraid of what was going to happen. I remember one series specifically, and what I was afraid was going to happen, happened. Well, I'll tell you, the day that I preached that thing, that morning, I got more peace about that message than I ever figured I'd get. And it's been a battle ever since, but I know God was in that thing. And what I feared happened, would happen, happened. And yet, you can't fear man. That's one of the reasons husbands don't like to do stuff, because they fear the family, they fear the children, they fear the wife. They don't want to mess up in front of the family. One of the reasons a wife doesn't want to do, they don't want to mess up in front of the husband and the children. I mean, it just goes that way. One of the reasons kids don't want to do something because they're afraid of what could happen, what parents would think. If it's a bad thing, then that's good if they don't do it. But if it's something for the Lord, venture out there into that deep and do something for the Lord. And don't be afraid of what people are going to say. Now, just winging some of my thoughts here, I can't think of a better example than quitting something that you're good at and taking some heat for from all your friends and community and family, and that's making a gigantic step, amen. Yeah. And I know some things that young people do that even they're scared to death of what the parents are going to say. But after a while, they just realize it's got to be God. And then, man, that's fear of man bringeth a snare. And we know what happens in that snare. You can't do anything. You're trapped. You figure that, feel that way when you're preaching? You know, what are people going to think? And if it's not a fearful thing, maybe you're just afraid of what they're going to think because you're not some Billy Graham type of a thing. And you're going to just bore them to death or whatever. You got to do what you can do. And don't fear man. You know? Bunch of verses on that. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And there's just a bunch of verses on trusting the Lord. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. That's an obvious one, isn't it? So maybe you're just afraid. Maybe you're having a struggle because you're afraid of what somebody else is going to say. I've heard people say that. Yeah, but aren't you afraid of what God's going to say? If you don't do what God would have you to do? Why are we more afraid of what a man's going to say as compared to what God thinks? Well, God's got more grace. Well, maybe we all need more grace for each other. Maybe some of the reasons somebody doesn't try something in your family, for example, is because there just isn't any grace in your family. No wonder they don't want to try anything. They're going to get clobbered. Even if it works, they're going to get clobbered. Same thing in the church. Somebody goes off and tries to launch out into the deep with some kind of a spiritual project or just whatever, and it crumbles. Oh, I told you it wasn't going to work. Man, where's our grace to help somebody back up? You know? Venture out there and let's pray for somebody. Let's pray for yourself to venture out. Somebody else ventures out. Man, be there for them. And don't stand at the dock with a life preserver. Tell them, well, when you sink, I'll be there. They ought to know that if they sink, you'll be there. But let's not tell them we know you're going to sink, so just call. I'll be there. You know, no, let's have some grace for everybody. Amen? Not by what? Meat, but by grace. Our heart's supposed to be established. Anyway, okay, so that's one. We're afraid of people. Let's look at this one. Just go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Number 4. Well, now we're doing all right. Now we're moving along. We've only got 7 to go. And the wind's died down, so maybe I can do it longer yet. Sometimes we're driven by emotions to do something. Oh, man, did that feel good all of a sudden. I hope that's all right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And here's the catch. And of a sound mind. You know, a sound mind does not... It stops the emotions from doing its thing. This movie is nothing but emotions, big time. Oh, it's horrible that people are getting canoobered here by, that's a new word, canoobered. Getting canoobered by emotions. You know why some Baptist churches can have their altars full of people praying up here? Because of emotions. They can just do the music just right. Oh, go ahead. And I'm telling you, folks. As much as I just love you, na, 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 we just want you to come forward. And they come forward like crazy. And nothing happens the next day, if he even makes it to the next day. And so I'm not big on invitations. I've studied the history of those things. God didn't used to have to do invitations. If you don't get the desire to do something right then and there, I suppose I can learn to manipulate people to come up and make a decision. I guess the one I remember the most is Peacock. I remember the week before Peacock, man, everybody was up here crying. Because I challenged you to get yourself cleaned up before the big guy gets here. Now, how are you doing? Do you even remember what you prayed for when you were up here, when Peacock was here? That was 6 years ago. You got all those things won now? You won all those victories, didn't you? We really operate by emotions. We really do. The movie's all emotions. Music is all emotions. Now, I'll tell you what, I cried at this wedding. I mean, talk about emotions. That's just the way it's set up. Just make sure, even if you don't know the people, I can go to a wedding and cry. I don't even know who they are. I don't have a sound mind, amen? That's what it is, you know? I need to go to these weddings. I don't know who they are. The music, I've heard it a million times. They're going to get mad, probably get a divorce. And you think of all these things, so you don't cry. You know, you go to a funeral. Don't cry. They're in heaven. Or cry because they're not in heaven. But don't let the emotions take over. And there's verses on that thing. We know Timothy talks about the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll fall for the emotions. It wasn't just a couple weeks ago. We knew what that verse said, but we didn't know all the stuff people are going to fall for. We saw what we now see what they're falling for. Entertainment, emotions, music, pictures. And they're working the crowd because they're mad at you. Because of me. Amen? Isn't that something? Well, man, don't have to get so emotional about it. Can we talk about it with our Bible? Well, no, we can't. Right? You ever try to argue with a sound mind at home with your family? There's no point in arguing because your mind is not sound. Back off, relax. Which isn't what you should say either. You know, relax, we'll talk later. What? You know? We need to just get control of the brain, and then let's talk about this thing. Man, can we control your brain just for a few minutes? That'll go over really well. Now, man, here, grab a chair for you, ma'am. Can you sit down here and just relax for a minute? Let me tell you about what Paul said. You know, people are so emotional. But anyway. Oh, don't go there, okay. Let's go to number 5. Well, this is a good one. Let's review in case you missed something. Maybe God's still working on it. Number 1 is you got vision problems. Maybe that's a problem. Number 2, you're afraid to take a risk. Launch out into the deep, you know. Man. And number 3, you're afraid of people. You're afraid of having them say whatever. You're failing in front of them. That's pride, by the way. We won't get down there. Number 4, you're driven by emotion rather than by sound thought. Number, did I say 4? 4. Number 5 is you're lazy. The reason sometimes we'll get something done, we don't want to improve our spiritual life, we're just lazy. Ah, tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Let's do a couple quick verses here. Proverbs again, 21. Sometimes we're just too lazy. Well, probably not women, because ladies, you got all these children. So I don't know how a lady can be lazy and have children. Well, I guess it's possible, though. Ladies, any input there? Here's your chance. Time's up. You haven't got time to be lazy if you're doing your job. Now, if you're not doing your job, I guess it's because you're lazy, and you'll find out about it in 10 years. Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him. Because, see, the slothful don't have a desire. Killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long. This is a good one. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Isn't that good? The slothful, somebody will have to tell you what to do. He doesn't. Kids, you know, sometimes your parents tell you what to do because you're not coming up with anything to do. They tell you something to do, they don't want to do what you told them to do. Okay, then think of something good to do. Otherwise, you're going to bend to the hand of your mom and dad telling you what to do. Man, figure that out after a while. Go do something neat. Go do something good. Launch into the deep. Don't tell that to kids. Hey, Paul, you ever jumped off a roof? That's what James, Stephen asked Paul with Thomas, you know, hey, Paul, did you ever jump off the roof? That's launching into the deep, amen. I don't want to do that. No. No. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns. All sorts of stuff on being lazy. I like this one. Just go to Proverbs 26. This is good. Maybe you're not lazy. Maybe you're just afraid of what somebody's going to think. Maybe you're not lazy. Maybe you just got vision problems. Maybe you're not lazy. You're just afraid to step out. Maybe that's what your kids. Maybe they're just hindered to where they're not lazy. They just don't want to do anything because they're going to get, you know, whatever. We're looking at the slothful right here. Proverbs 26, verse 14. I like this. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Now, as we get older, that does happen. You know, you wake up in the morning, you just lay there, I didn't go to heaven yet. Okay, time to turn. And my feet, which love to be rubbed so badly, but they're so destitute of anybody caring for me. I put my feet down in the morning, every morning, and there's just a tingle that goes up my leg. Just tingles. It's like, ooh, the feet are waking up. You know, I just can stay in bed. Just stay in bed. Creak. What's that noise? Oh, there's still somebody upstairs, downstairs in bed. Creak. You know, the slothful, you know. So what if we stay up till 2 in the morning? Get up at 6 anyway. You know. Anyway, let's go on here to Luke. Let's go to number 6. Luke. Do you know any names in the Bible? Did you know that? Paul. Stephen. Rebecca. And Mike. What a godly family. And is it you? Maybe anybody else? Nathan. Nathan Joel Amos. Yep, he's in there too. We're looking at Luke chapter 14. Here's another reason that we don't get stuff done. That's the whole gist. It's not just a stand and watch this thing. It's a... I hope Lord gets on somebody for something. That's one of their weaknesses here. This is Luke chapter 14. And another reason we could be having struggles with our improvement of our lives or such, or the temple as such, is because we're too busy. Well, we know that. But you know what being too busy gives us? It gives us an excuse. It just does. You can skip the too busy part. I want you to see the excuse. Look at chapter 14, verse 16. Here we go. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Ladies, you can identify with this thing. Dinner's ready. And you got to call in the family. 18. And they all with one consent began to make the excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Don't even snicker. So that servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Boy, are you glad for eternal security or what? I mean, if our eternal security, if our marriage supper, if that was all determined on how what we're doing down here, we would be in big trouble. So let's not look at it from this way. That's how the loving crowd out there would apply that thing. But we know what he's saying there. Those 3 guys came up with a good excuse to not do what God would have you do. First one says, listen here, I got me some land. I got a house. I can't come. I'm too busy fixing my property. Second one bought a couple trucks. Got to go out there and polish those critters, tractors and stuff. Amen? I won't go into the third one. You know, it's sad. It really is sad that there are some people here that aren't here because of excuse number 3 right there. Talk about fear of a person. Because they're married and they can't come here now. because the wife won't come. And maybe it's the husband that won't come in some case. Maybe it's a husband. Now I can't go there because he won't come here. Who knows? Anyway, we're too busy. We just got excuse after excuse. Lord, I'll do it tomorrow. Okay? Let's go to number 7. Maybe this one's a little bit more valid. Maybe not quite so perky or picky on you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Number 7. I want to see the altar full of people crying and asking God for forgiveness and wanting to get themselves cleaned up so they can venture out into the deep, launch out into the deep. But I'm hoping you're sitting there. I hope somebody's thinking, maybe I ought to just jump out there and go for it. But God, let God work on it, not me. I'll just preach it and go play with my train. Or your train, as far as that goes, I guess. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. One of the reasons we might have trouble with our struggles is because we're just getting tired. We're just tired. Amen. I mentioned, I think it was Wednesday night, I mentioned something about just to get too tired of the battle after a while. And I saw somebody in the back pew there nod their heads like, yeah, this is just tiring. It's tiring. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. If we go to Proverbs, it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. He says in Galatians, and let us not be weary in well-doing. That means that sometimes we're weary because we're not what? We're not well, we're not the well-doing. Now it's talking there, it says, now let us not be weary in well-doing, but we can get weary in not well-doing. We can get weary in well-doing too. So basically, we can get weary. But he does say back in Corinthians, the inward man is renewed. Every time you get up in the morning, every time you offer a prayer, every time you just talk to the Lord, every time you read the scriptures, every time a thought comes, you can get renewed just like that. You just can't. You just can't. And I like to think that the Lord's renewal policy, you don't get tired of that. Maybe sometimes we're just tired because we're not getting renewed like we ought to be. I mean, what, there's ever, I don't like looking at this thing, the picture up there. If there's ever a time that we need to have some strength, it's right now. I wonder how many are tired of it already. I like to see that passion, the thing go away and just everything go back. Remember what it was before 9/11? I wish it was like that before 9/11. I wish we could just fly and enjoy the flying. I wish we could just do things and enjoy it. I'm weary of the music in this country. I'm weary of the music of the neighborhood. I'm weary of teens and all this gangy junk and the thumping, the music and the noise and all. I'm weary of this life. You guys have been around for a while. Are you weary of this place yet? Oh yeah. Any of you young folks weary of this place already? No, they want to experience life. Have a good time. You know? Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's right. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says this, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What are those words? The Lord's coming. You know, if you get tired of stuff, just remember the Lord's coming. Let's go to Proverbs 15. Let's go to number 8 already. Man, fast. Look at this. Only 20 to 9. Not bad. I got time for a drink of water. Go through the second half of my spit up here. Look, I go down to take a drink, and there's my daughter looking right at me. Oh, well, get used to that. Number 8. I got a lot of verses on this. We'll probably look at these, because these are all in Jeremiah after this Proverbs one here. Proverbs 15, number 8. Maybe this is a problem you have. I've been there way too often. You refuse to follow wise counsel. Now, I already heard a young person snicker during that thing, so I might as well start with the kids. Or the young adults or the old kids. You know, sometimes your life is miserable because you're not following wise counsel. It's not up to you to determine whether that's wise counsel. Just follow it. That's up to us parents to make sure it's what? Wise counsel. You got to trust your parents. But anyway, we refuse to follow wise counsel. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is full of that stuff. All the time, all the things Jeremiah says is you guys are ignoring God's counsel. Jeremiah chapter 7. Let's start there. We'll zip to Jeremiah here. Jeremiah 7, verse 24, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. That's a good one. Is that what you're doing? You're ignoring some counsel? You're not reading your Bible anymore? You're tired? You're afraid of people, whatever, but you're ignoring somebody's counsel? That's a terrible thing to ignore. Look at Jeremiah 13, chapter 13. He keeps saying the phrase imagination of their own heart. He keeps bringing that up for some reason. Jeremiah 13, 10. This evil people... guy. Man, I'm glad we don't have to do stuff like that as pastors. All the stuff you think, man, I'll tell you. I won't even go into some of the things those guys had to do in those days. But it's just a worthless thing. And you know, that's what people are doing out there. The person that's talked to you, the people that are talking to you at work and staff, and what they do, put the editorial on your locker and tape it up there or something like that, whatever. That's these people. Tell them, hey, you're in the Bible. I am? Yeah, I'm Jeremiah. You're refusing God's counsel. What are you talking about? My pastor. I'm not talking about your pastor, the Word of God. God told me, like kind of the same. There's better ones in Jeremiah yet here. Jeremiah 16:12. Jeremiah 16:12 says this, and ye have done worse than your fathers. Boy, that's a rough one. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Let's go to Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, verse 12. And they said, is that right? And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. It's amazing here, but majority of America is going after Mel Gibson's evil heart. And they're falling into that evil heart of his. Here's my favorite one, Jeremiah 23. I don't know if favorite is just a word, but it is douchey for me. Jeremiah 23, verse 22. Now, if there's ever a verse I would want to stand on as a pastor, this is the one. Chapter 23, verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from the evil way and from the evil of their doings. I'm not talking about my words. I'm talking about this book. I look back at the sermons God has had me preach, and I can honestly stand here, and in some situations, I hope I don't have to do it, but I probably will in the next couple of years. Hey, listen, if you'd have just done what the Bible told you to do, you wouldn't be having the problems you've got with your teenagers now that they're young adults. I'm not saying that viciously or judgmentally or hurtfully or offendably or whatever. I'm just saying there's going to come a time where we're going to think, I wish we'd have done, how do I know that? Because I say to myself, I wish I'd have done. I think it'd be nice if you wouldn't have to go through that, those of you that have little kids. And it's not my counsel I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's counsel of this book. Somebody wrote me a letter today and says, I got a friend. You know, one of those things. I got a friend that's got, they're having a horrible time with their children. The pastor's friend, the counseling person back at this church, back over there, you know, told him to read a book by Dobson. So what would you have him read? You got any suggestions? I said, yeah, your Bible. I mean, have you read all the verses in the Bible about how to raise your children, how to train your children yet? Type of a thing. They're in there, and we've got them together in a fashion that you could check it off as a parent. You know, God has shown that to us here. I don't know who to look at. Everybody get mad at me. God has given us a list of check-off things as a father, and as a pastor, and as a husband, and as a wife, and as a child, and as a parent. We've got the check-off list. I wonder how many have ever been down that list and checked it off while you're reading off this other stuff. You know? I don't know. I just know someday if they'd have just stood in his counsel and if they'd have just heard his words, you know, they would have turned their children from an evil way. Unless the child chooses on their own. I mean, you know, whatever. I fear that. I fear that. I already had to go through a little bit already. Oh, what can we do? But I wish I knew. There's not a person in this world that can come into your home and tell you what you need to do, except God. Nobody can write a book to tell you what you need to do. Nobody knows you like God knows you. And so if this is the thing that God wants you to venture out into the deep on, you know, launch out into the deep is because of your children still, then man, jump in. What harm can it do? Try something else. Get that book going. Get the book going. Anyway, there's one more I'd like you to look at, though, along this line here, and that is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to preach this for the sake of the next pastor that comes along here someday, whether soon or a long ways away, who knows. But believe it or not, he does say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There is a reason that God's given you a pastor. There is a reason that God gives you evangelists to come through here. That's to help you. And I try to stand in that book 99% of my chit-chat. Well, the Bible says this, and how do you apply that? Well, I really don't know, but this is what it says. And I don't emanate with godly, gray-haired wisdom. But I'll show you what the book says about that. And there's a reason for that. And that says right there, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's a reason for that. You know, there's a reason for that. Number nine. I probably should talk about that pastor thing some more. I hesitate. I just don't like to talk about that. I just won't talk about it. It's there. I've got to work on it. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 for this one. One of the reasons we have struggles with our lives, trying to do things better and trying to consider your ways and trying to do something better for the Lord's temple, etc., etc., is because some people only do what other people tell them to do. The only reason you're going to try something is because somebody told you to do it. That's right, no. That's right. That's true, isn't it? And then maybe you're this way, maybe you're not. Maybe you expect this in your home, I don't know. But you know, you can tell your kids to do so many things after a while, they don't even know what to do on their own. As a Christian, as a pastor, there's pastors out there, we know of one for sure in this part of the woods, amen, Brother Mike, that tells everybody what to do, and they better do it. And he's probably telling them the right things to do. I mean, I'm not saying that he doesn't tell you the right thing to do, but if the only reason you do something is because somebody else told you to do it, that's not going to work. How do you know that's not going to work? This is an interesting story, but look at this thing. Luke chapter 1, verse 59. This is a neat story to look at this thing here. As Luke chapter 1, so you know what time of year, the season here, you know, the season thing, you know. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Who are we talking about here? See the story here? This is John the Baptist here. And his dad can't talk and all this kind of stuff. And so they came to circumcise the child and they called him Zacharias. They named him after his dad. That's a neat thing. You know, David Michael Paulson. All our future grandkids should have Michael in there somewhere. That's it. Well, you'd be a killing two birds with one stone type of thing. Amen. Mike. That's a spell M-I-K-E-L though. But his mother answered and said, not so. But he shall be called John. And they said unto her, now everybody that's got children has heard this story. There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father. How would he have him called? Uh-oh. Here's the chance, Dad. I mean, all the relatives are saying, you better call that guy Zacharias. And the wife is saying, no way, Jose. Well, Jose, you're going to call him John because that's what John said, blah, 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 blah. And the dad, who can't even talk, he asked for a writing table and wrote saying his name is John. That shut everybody up because it says, and they marveled all. Isn't that a neat story? Sometimes we do things just because somebody's making us do it, and we don't want to do it that way. Teenagers, don't listen to me right now. Your day is coming. And oh, is your day coming? But anyway, why do we do some things as a Christian? Am I supposed to do something as a pastor here because some other pastor tells me this is what you need to do because it worked there? Let's have a Bible conference because they had one. Let's do this because everybody's building gyms because it must work everywhere. So next week, Mike and I, we're going to move everybody out to this house. We're going to gut inside that house and turn that into an indoor basketball court. I bet everybody in town will come here. That's not how we do things. You know? And I certainly don't want you to do something because I told you to do it. I've already learned that doesn't work. But maybe the reason you don't want to do something anymore is just because you're one of those that has to tell you what to do. Then you can go the opposite side of that coin, though, you know. You're not going to do something because somebody told you to do it. And that takes us back to that one where you refused wise counsel. You know, sometimes, kids, your parents are right. That really is true. You know, folks, sometimes even I'm right. Ladies, do you know that I was right through all that? I've just given you Bible. Maybe how I went through the barnyard wasn't very good, but it sure, you know, talked about how it ought to be. Yeah, I don't know. Let's keep going. Number 10. I like that story in Luke because most of you parents have gone through that, haven't you? Naming your children, and you didn't name them like Aunt Ruth said you ought to name them. I think Marilyn, didn't you break? Wasn't there a Mary thing? I'm sure. Mary was a. We didn't name our Beck Mary or something, right? But she's married, isn't that close? Married, you know? Married. Then didn't your mom get. Didn't somebody get mad about that? Anybody else had that happen? Naming your kids, your parents, your relatives didn't like what they were named? Nobody? Really? Didn't you have pressure to name that little guy Jerry or something?
No.
Huh. I don't know where Vargas Bearcat came along, but that certainly would have caused a problem. But I still believe to this day that the moment you made that decision, God just changed everything in mom. Now she got nothing of a Vargas Bearcat out there. Changed all those parts around, you know. Number 10, let's finish this up here. Oh, I got two 10s. That means I got a 12 and coming up here. Let's do another one here. These are quick. Number 10, why we don't want to do some of these things? Because we run out of fight. You just don't want to fight anymore. You know, somebody comes up and says something about the passion, and inside you think, oh man, here we go again. I'm tired of emailing. I got 900 and some I need to go through here. About 100 of those things that really have to be answered seriously. I just, you know, do you get that way? I mean, these are serious people asking serious stuff, and they need to be responded to. They do. Some of them are fights. I don't want to fight about that stuff anymore. The Bible, listen, if you don't want to believe this Bible, I don't know how you type, but I'm going to learn that word one of these days. You know, Jimmy, if anybody can figure out to spell the word in the computer, you'll do it. Let me know. You work on that one. We don't want to fight. Well, some of the reasons we don't want to fight is because I do believe that we get duped by the peace, love, and grace thing that's floating everywhere in this country. It just rubs off on us after a while. You know, when the relatives come or somebody comes over, somebody comes to the church, somebody visits, and something just, and they're gone, you know. It's like, oh, couldn't you have, I know you need to say what you need to say, but couldn't you have said it differently or whatever? You know, we get tired of the fight. We get tired. We're supposed to speak the truth in love, and they don't understand the love thing. And some we have to learn that stuff. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If these people that are talking to you about the passion, whatever it is about me, as who wrote the article or the mood or whatever it is, if you really care for these people, you'll tell them the truth. And if you don't care for them, let them go to hell. Because that's what's going to happen. They're going to get duped by all this stuff, and if you don't care, then whatever. How do you spell that? A bunch of bees, I suppose. But if you care, you got to tell them the truth. And that's what wears you down. Hi, how you doing? Been a while since we've seen you. Been to the movie? No. Why not? It's a marvelous movie. I'm too tired. You'll think of something, you know. Tell them the truth. Take your time and be nice about it. And you know what you're going to think? You're going to think, oh, I should have read those things. Or you're going to think you need to go to the movie to know. Don't tell me if you go to this movie. Oh, and there's more verses on that. Another reason we don't have any fight in us is because we can't fight. Can't. Don't know your Bible. Ever been in a situation you can't fight? That's not a good one. You find yourself fighting the wrong battle. You know, when you go home from church tonight, that's not the battle. This is not the battle. The place to battle is out there in the world. Nowhere else. And we fight improperly. So let's look at a quick place here, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I need to go to this verse because I need to preach it to myself. We're living in a day and age where it doesn't matter what you say, it's how you say it. And as much as I hate that phrase, it's true. So this is the verse you all need to know when you're going to talk to these folks. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. So we're going to start with verse 23 tonight because that's more important than I think we've ever realized. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. You know, half the stuff that people get mad about, we probably didn't even need to be talking about it. It just makes the battle worse. You probably need to just end up talking about either one person's salvation or the book. There's no point in bickering over all this other stuff if you're both talking about two different sources. Get right down to what counts. And if they've got the right book and they got the right spirit with the right salvation, it'll start to click. Because that's how God operates. So we have to look at these verses. Humbly, I must admit, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Don't you want to just take somebody by the neck and just yank them out of that trap? You probably leave a few parts in the trap, amen? You ever done that with a mouse? Just yank that critter out of it? Remember those little sticky boxes we had there a couple years ago? Remember those things? I don't know how a mouse can get all 4 feet in there. Unless he saw, death, and flew in, and then landed like that. You would think a mouse would run along, and his first feet would hit it, boop, and he'd go over, and it'd be on his back in every one of those traps. But here's this trap. You reach in there, and you get this guy out of there, and his little feet stay there sometimes. So I don't like to do that. I'm a humane person here. You know? You just take the little trap, the cute little guy, you don't look at him because you don't want to feel bad about this, and you just take him outside, and you grab the shovel, and come around there, he doesn't even know what hit him. You know? Then you throw the little box with it, only $2 anyway. Well, what we'd like to do is we'd like to find somebody that's in a trap and just grab them and just yank them out of that thing, and I guarantee you we'll leave parts in that trap. That's just the way it is. Aren't you glad somebody didn't yank you out of the trap you were in? You know, there's a pastor standing here right now that would love to yank somebody out of your trap that you're in. There's probably some of you down there, I'd like to yank you out of your trap too there, buddy. So God's got to do it. I'm learning. God's got to do it. How am I doing? What have I bugged you, lady? We're all in that thing. Some of this fight's not even our fight, amen? who does we're just the soldiers with the seed and the rake and the water and all that kind of stuff. God gets all the increase. It's between the Holy Spirit and the spirit of Antichrist, you know that. I mean, when somebody walks up to you and clobbers you about that movie, that's because that movie's full of the Antichrist, and you're not. You're full of the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be a clash. Guaranteed. Don't even try to deny it. There has to be. In fact, if there's not a clash, that's a clue. Then we'll go down that one. We've got to finish this thing up. It's, everybody's tired, I guess. That's what life is. Just go to Jude. You know Jude 20:23, amen? Some with fire, some with compassion, all that kind of thing. You know, we need to learn how to fight. We need to learn how to fight with a rightly divided Bible. I am so anxious for the rally, for the balloon rally. I'm just so anxious. And you guys, I'm not going to tell you what to do about vacations or something, but I do not want to do this rally by myself. I just don't. Well, I'm just so hoping somebody's going to tell me, why don't you have the peace that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5? Can I talk to you for a few minutes, sir, friend?
Sure.
Let me show you something. I never saw that before. Never saw that before either. That's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on the Bible actually doing its job. Even though you know what it's like, and you know what it's like, and you know what it's like about what it is to sit there and talk to somebody, they don't even get what you're showing them. But that's not our problem. I don't think that we're going into any of our booth presentations any better prepared than we are for this one. I think you're all ready to do some talking. Isn't that a neat thing? And you know that someone's going to ask you a question. You still don't know. But you'd be ready for the fair then. And then somebody's going to come up and ask you a question that you don't know. You'll be ready for the balloon rally the next year. That's just going to happen, but that's all right. We got to get out there and do this stuff. Let's finish this up quickly. Number 11, I guess it is, because I want my numbers are wrong here. There's a lot here. I just read it off to you here in some way. You know, another problem we can have with trying to do right, getting cleaned up, we have a problem with the Bible. Can you imagine? Here we are, King James Bible people, and we got a problem with the Scriptures. Well, here we go. Number A, letter A, you're not willing to go by the Scriptures. Well, that's probably true. Yeah. B, you have little or no knowledge of the Scriptures. That can be a problem. C, you have no confidence from the Scriptures. Amen. Now, those verses for all these things. Let's go back. You're not willing to go by the Scriptures. Well, you're supposed to go by every word of God. Why have you not read every word of God that you're supposed to go by? I think that's a fair question. Because I don't know how to understand it. Well, learn to understand it because it's really important for your judgment seat. You know, and the testimony, blah, 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 blah. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to get it by the Word of God. Some of us we have a hard time living by the Scriptures. Number two, you have little or no knowledge of the Scriptures. Well, I can't help that. I've tried to give you tons of Bible. I mean, you know that. Some of you take the sermons home and you got tons of stuff to study. If you don't know your Scriptures, I can't help you there. You have no confidence from the Scriptures. I don't know. I think this is the best thing in the world to get your confidence from. 1 John chapter 5 talks about confidence in the written Scriptures. Proverbs 14 talks about that. Proverbs chapter 3, for the Lord shall be my confidence. Where's your confidence? If you're going to venture out into the deep, you're going to launch out into the deep, and this has told you where to go, man, jump. Because it'll be all right. I don't know. And if it crashes, it's still going to get you up again. Because maybe what God's got for you is after the crash. You know? Have to move to South Dakota for 6 years. Oh, please. Yeah, but after that, you get to go up and be the pastor. Oh, please. What's coming up after this? I have no idea. Maybe nothing. Look. This is it. LD, I'm going before you. You know, it can happen anytime. You're smiling pretty good there, LD. What's the deal on that one? We could go to the verses in Luke and in Matthew about the scripture problem, as the scriptures aren't rooted into you. That could be a problem. The Bible says temptation, and it also says that persecution, not just temptation, persecution comes along and you give up. That could be one of the things that happen. You can get into. We know the scriptures about how the riches of the world, the cares and the deceitfulness of the riches of the world choke the word. Amen. So we know that's the problem with our scriptures. Maybe we just got too much stuff. Maybe that's one of the things God would have you do. You think? Man, I'd love to have a boat out back. I could get up in the morning and I walk out here and man, look at that beautiful boat somebody God convicted him about. Man, that is neat. Paul, boys, let's go to the lake. Somebody gave the church a boat. Wow. And look at the big part, look at the big blue truck I get to drive it in. You know? I know. Those are just funny. I'm just totally off the cuff examples. But I mean, is there something in your life that keeps you from your Bible? Is there something in your life? The riches, remember the bag with holes in it? I mean, all that work to get that bag, and it's just losing all that stuff anyway, and the Bible just isn't clicking with you. Maybe that's the launch out into the deep. Oh, I hope when you launch out in the deep like that, it's not like when Bill and I went fishing that one time. We launched out into the river, and halfway down the river, Bill says, you know, we don't have enough gas. It was kind of windy. I could just picture little old me, who can't swim more than 10 feet just to, you know, to get to the shore or something. I could just see us forever floating down the Columbia the rest of my life. You know? Here comes this dam with this great big thing. I'm just heading for this thing. I just know it. You know? I don't know. He's over here pumping on this thing. I don't think there's enough gas in this thing. I wonder if we got enough to get back. Didn't you just have one oar too? Wasn't there just one oar? One oar. Oh, I'm going to sit there and roll in circles the rest of my life, you know? Because he can jump off the boat and swim to shore, and I can't. Bill comes to church saying, "Where's Pastor?" Oh, you got to see this. He's down at the river swimming and rolling in circles. Oh, that'd be a good one. Well, Lord's got to get you on some of this stuff because I'm not here. Last one. This is it, number 12. Why we struggle sometimes is because we don't want to admit we're struggling. Well, that's a pretty psychological approach. Yeah, it is, isn't it? We just don't want to admit it. Oh, come on, folks. I'd have put this whole wall into mirrors. You ought to see yourself. It's funny. Sometimes it's sad, but it's funny. Your face is like a book. How's that? It just is, you know. And it says in Revelation 3:17, well, that's Laodicea in there, isn't it? That's the last days thing. Let's look at that. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of what? Nothing. See, folks, even when we're at our best, we're still in the Laodicean church age. So we're just high in the puke bucket. Amen? We're the stuff that falls on the top. That's a marvelous way to look at it. And Mike is sitting here going, this guy sometimes loses that pastoral thing. I don't know what happens here. But that's true. When can we get over the fact that we're nothing? He's everything. And he's still in us. So that part of it's great. But man, every one of these things we could probably apply to our lives. Every one of them. I'll make you copies. I'll give them all. And next week we'll come back. I'll look at your checkup list to see how you're doing. That's how bad you are. Speak for yourself. Okay. I'm glad you all got it together. But we got some struggling going on. I still struggle as a pastor. No. Yeah, I do. Never have been to pastor school. You probably noticed that. Yeah. Amen. I have a fun idea in that thing. So we don't want to admit that we're struggling because of pride. We don't want to admit to struggle because we don't want the pastor to know about it. And then the last verses here, I want you to look at these up. We don't want to admit to the struggle because you want to reject each other. You don't have a hard time rejecting the pastor because what does he know anyway? He's just kind of picky and snoopy and grumpy. And he, like I said, never been to pastor school anyway. And that thing about the bucket and the top and the floating things in the pew, that is just not very pastoral. And I don't care what he has to say about anything. Yeah, but you know, the brethren are really important. And there's nothing wrong with admitting to a struggle to one of us. Not a sin, but the struggle. That's what the brethren are for. Wasn't it 2 weeks ago I preached about I've learned from a scriptural thing of God showing me what the church is here for. It's for the saved people to be edified. It is not to draw in the lost. I learned that reading my scriptures, and God got over that thing about me on that thing. And then I read something in somebody's newsletter somewhere, preached the same thing. Mentioned as a big guy, not big guy, but an important guy. I said, people are forgetting the fact that the local church is not here for the community. It's here for the people that get saved because of the people in the church that go out to the community. This is where they come to get fed. We're not to design this thing around bringing in the lost people. That is not the design of the local church. The local church is designed for us to be here for us. To give him the glory. Let's look at a couple quick verses. You got to see these things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Because if you don't get anything else out of this long sermon tonight of 12 points about why we struggle, the one I want you to get, now there's two. I'd like to hear somebody launch out into the deep with something. Man, what better step of faith, amen? And I don't mean move to Alaska. I'm not talking to you, Mike. Oh, we got two people want to go to Alaska now? Well, I suppose we could all go. Hey, okay. That'd be all right. Skeeters are pretty big up there, though. I mean, the mosquitoes got to have runways on your arm to get there, you know. Before they stop right there. Anyway, totally stupid. 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22. And God says, I'm trying to get to these guys, and you keep messing it up. He'll get you. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. It doesn't say love most of us with a pure heart. It means love one another. So when we're having struggles, whatever your struggle is, and it doesn't mean that God has to stand up and give a testimony about your struggle. But you know, there might be somebody else in this little bitty family here that understands your struggle. And there's no harm in talking to them. Unless, of course, it just turned into a gossip session about somebody else's struggle. Hey, did you know the other day that somebody called me? You want to know what they're struggling with? Oh, just pray for them, okay? Oh, you ought to see what they're struggling with. Blah, 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 blah. That's not the point. The point is, he says, to love one another with a pure heart fervently. He says in Corinthians, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. If God gets you through this thing, Danny, I'll wake you up there. If God gets you through this problem you're having, it's probably to help somebody else go through the very same problem. Sorry. Probably you. Let's turn it around. Patience has been through some of the stuff you're about to jump into. She can help you through it. She can help you out of it. Maybe. I don't know. You got any dads in here that are having difficulties? I'll bet there's another dad that had the same difficulty. I'll bet there's a couple more dads in here that they really have a hard time finding time to read their Bible. I'll bet you. I think I'm the only one. I bet you're not. Ladies, you having a hard time being a wife? I bet you there's another lady here having a hard time being a wife too. But she might have victory now. Maybe she can help you. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, we're supposed to be there for each other as we struggle through this sermon stuff. Just consider your ways. 1 John 3:17, look at this one. You need to know this one. I know you've seen it before. wasn't bad, Dan. It didn't spit any that badly. You want to hear some spit? I'll give you some spit. I'll wake you up. 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, means stuff. You know, tools and this and that and whatever. And seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? See, we're supposed to be there for each other. Now, use each other. So let's be there for the other person. Let's not look at that and go, ha ha, I can suck some more stuff out of these bleaches. I ain't getting to come over and fix this thing, help me do this and that, whatever. I hope you can. Because we're supposed to do that for each other. And if you want to do it under that pretense, then I guess that's between you and God. Amen? So we're supposed to be there. If we have something, somebody else needs has a problem, there's a need there, and we've got the solution, get up off your knees, quit praying, and call them up and say, hey, I got what you need. And be there for them. And I don't think that's a bad problem. I think that's been kind of coming around pretty good lately. There's always room for improvement. And I could go through, that's a sermon in itself, I could go through some of the things I know that have taken place in the last couple of months that you've done for somebody else in here. That's a neat thing. But what I'm saying is, we're talking about the struggle. I'm not talking about physical, financial, anything. And right now I'm talking about the spiritual struggles we're all going to have if we want to launch into the deep or deal with some things in our family or whatever. You know, you can call the pastor. You really can. I really don't mind it. You can email me. I really don't mind it. You get priority anytime. And you can call one of the brethren, one of the cistern. That's a weird thing. One of the cistern. Amen. Call one of the teens up. You can call her up. Call him up. Tyler, you can call me up because I'm pretty close to 15, 16. I'm not that far away from it. Been there. You know, we can talk to each other. And if somebody here tonight feels like we've done everything for somebody else and nobody's ever called on me to help us, I've heard that before. Maybe true. But let God deal with it. You'd just be surprised how God can use you still to help somebody else. I have learned that whenever I have a hard time with something, or I'm hurting about something or whatever, it doesn't take long for me to figure out that somebody else is worse off than I am. And if you just are concerned about helping somebody else, your little problem becomes a little bitty problem. No matter how big a problem it is. It just does. And I know that you folks have helped us out a lot. Marilyn and me. We have no complaints. I'd like to get that one faucet sticking out of the house off. Other than that, no, we got no complaints. You're taking really, it's just been a joyful thing. We've been there for our needs. I mean, you just have. We haven't even had many needs, really. Do we have any needs? Yeah, let's stop, Eddie. I'd like to get new glasses. I'd like to get a new car. I'm not doing my Scorpio very well lately. Oh, okay, forget the glasses, forget the new car thing. How come the Scorpio thing? Anybody else having a hard time with Scorpio? It's hard to get it in, isn't it? It just is. Well, you know, I'm the pastor. I should never have said that. But there's another notch off my spiritual leadership. Hey, it's hard to get Scorpio in. Well, get it in. I know. Now, maybe that was an encouragement to some of you guys that started that aren't getting it all the time. It even happens to me. It's not really my fault, though. Excuses. We get too busy. And who's complaining about a money bag with holes? I'd be happy with a money bag. We're doing fine. I might even be able to go out and buy a modern lunch this week, even after the big trip to North Carolina. We were blessed with money on this trip. It's amazing. I thought y'all hated this whole thing. I'm still blessed. You do that for somebody else in this church too? I wonder how many called on anybody who gets sick and misses a lot of church anymore. Do you still call on them and see how they're doing? He might be sick sometime. Now, we're never going to go back and be a teenager again. Praise the Lord. But maybe the teenager could use a little prayer. Maybe some encouragement. And you see him in church. How's it going at school? How's it going at home? Amen. Probably more hassle. Let's talk over here. We all struggle, don't we? We just all do. Think of Nancy. Married to Jerry. So you think you got a rough lady? Think of poor Nancy. Better stop there. Yeah. Well, summarizing today, we have seen the Antichrist show his one-eyed face. And we know people that are falling for it. We need to show them the truth. And then we need to deal with our own problems too. You know, maybe sometimes they're going to think, they're going to believe you about that movie. They want to see, don't they? They want to see to believe. I wonder if maybe one of the things they don't need to see is you to launch out into the deep and take a step of faith in something and show them that God's even real in your life. Ooh. That's a horrible way to leave it. That's a marvelous way to leave it. I hope you go home tonight with a smile on your face, knowing that you got the real Christ. I hope you go home with a smile on your face, knowing that God told you where you're weak, where your struggle is at. And I hope you go home with a smile on your face where he's even giving you some clue on how to change it. And if you don't go home with that, then you've kind of wasted your day here. And I hope nobody wasted your day here today. You sing praises to the Lord? Yeah, well, okay, then you did that. Sing a little worship? Yeah, we did, and we sang, who's that? What's that? Be thou exalted. That's worshiping God. But that is right there. That's a pretty neat day you had today. You guys think you didn't get any work done? You're going to go fix something? Did you get that fixed? Amen. You could probably find a couple reasons not to. There's no point. Boy, God's good to us. Just because we got this book, he lets us see so much. Let's stand. We'll dismiss tonight with a poem and a prayer.